chef at this time of the morning to give you some wonderful ideas of things to do for Christmas, whether you have a wonderful dinner on Christmas Eve, which will be tomorrow evening, or perhaps a fantastic splendid lunch on Christmas Day. We've all been asked, of course, to keep our numbers very small this Christmas, so do not have the meeting and the gathering of the extended family where there are tens of people all clamoring into one space. Rather, keep it to your nucleus family, right? Two or four people. And the question I've been asking chefs all week is, well, what can I serve on that dining table that is a little bit more special than what would be generic Sunday lunch of two meats and three vegetables, but not quite the turkey nor the trifle, I suppose, that we've come to associate with Christmas. And I turn to a good friend, Karen Dudley, chef and author of cookbook Another Week in the Kitchen and Set a Table. Join me on the line now from Cape Town. Hello, Karen. Lovely to chat to you again.
Africa Malani, what a great pleasure, even at this ungodly hour of the morning.
It is strange, what, hey, to be up at 5:49 in Cape Town.
So wonderful to hear your voice, Africa.
It's going to be a different Christmas for all of us this year, Karen. None of the hours of slaving away in the kitchen while you are desperately measuring the inside temperature of a turkey that you forgot to thaw, so therefore you've had to put into the oven while it's frozen. None of the layers and layers and layers of trifle that everybody is going to tuck into, because the families need to be kept more smaller this year. What suggestions do you have for people to serve on their dining tables?
Yeah, it's all about your mindset, really. You know, it's about, I think it's making something delicious and simple that you're not spending hours on, that you can prepare way in advance so that you can really just be with your family, because it's really going to be a time of kind of making the table sort of more special, taking the time to put up those decorations. And it's really about kind of being really well prepared so that you can really give yourself to the time, play more games, put the phones away, and have something that's really delicious and simple. And you know what? You don't have to have too much. If you're going to do a gammon and that's it. You don't have to have five things. And I know it goes against the grain for us as South Africans to kind of, what about this person and what about that person? Well, there's just going to be a few people. So you don't have to, you know, overcompensate with too many things.
No, for sure. What I love about what I've got in front of me, by the way, as far as the ideas, you don't have a beetroot salad in sight. There's something synonymous with this time of the year and beetroot that's going to stain every other food item on your plate because of the deep and beautiful purple that comes from that beetroot.
No, I have to tell you, I myself have a soft spot for beetroot. Not
really?
Only because, yeah, I do love beetroot. I mean, even the beetroot from the jar, you know, the beetroot salad, the, you know, ubiquitous South African beetroot. Mm. I have a soft spot for it, but it also has got such great color. But this time, you know, the rest of my family are not so mad about it. So I'm just doing this for them. So I'm kind of really playing to other colors and to lots of green stuff. Not only because we actually have some hydroponic leaves growing in our, we've got a little hydroponic garden, Africa. You'd be so proud of
that. That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
So yeah. more on sort of like little carrots or sweet potatoes or parsnips. I very much love parsnips. And Brussels sprouts. You know, people have a very bad opinion of Brussels sprouts, but I kind of fry them like in a wok, and I call them sort of popcorn. I call them popcorn Brussels sprouts. You kind of like almost sort of screw you them, you know, like make them go really sort of golden, and they're almost like they want to pop. And then they become a whole different animal altogether.
Indeed. Now, you've got two salads. The one is a Chinese sesame slaw with horseradish sesame dressing. The other, a spinach cranberry almond salad with poppy seed dressing. Can we do the second one, actually? Because that, for me, just speaks much more. I mean, the other one is flavorful. All your food is flavorful, without a doubt. But the spinach cranberry almond just sounds amazing as a combination.
I'm so glad you've chosen that one, because let me tell you, that salad is the winner salad. It is the winner. Not only is it just the simplest salad to make, people who've made it told me that it is their go-to standard that they love. Everybody loves the salad, and there are a few reasons for it. One is it involves a bag of bought baby spinach from Pick and Pay or Woolworths, or from, if you're lucky, from a market or so forth. But basically, it involves one of those bags of baby spinach. And for the rest, it's some toasted flaked almonds and cranberries. That's it. But it's all in the dressing. And the dressing is like a poppy seed and sesame dressing with vinegar and sugar and smoked paprika. So now you have, if you can imagine, just these soft, tender leaves, and you get a little, and you've got the toasted almonds, which are such a winner, and also kind of very festive, aren't they? Sort of the almonds and the cranberries, like, are screaming, Christmas, Christmas, South African Christmas, because we're so fresh and clean and lovely. And then you get the crunch from the sesame seeds and the poppy seeds and the sort of cleanness of those flavors. And it is just a shining salad. You've got the green, you've got the little pop of the cranberry, and it's so easy, and it makes people look so good and so clever. and that's why we love it so much.
The mustard marmalade gammon. Gammon? I just called it gammon. Gammon. Fine. That's what we're talking about.
It's fine. It's early in the morning. You haven't really had breakfast, etc. Anyway, the mustard. So now the nice thing about the gammon is that, well, it's so pleasing, and it kind of meets, you know, if it's like got that smoky thing about it, and such good value, because you can buy just the size gammon that you need. You know, if you're only having four people, you can get a gammon that size. And I'm so aware that we shouldn't be wasteful, you know. And so it's possible to get a small gammon. And even if you've got a sort of medium-sized gammon, you can have, you know, it kind of, you eat it the next day and the next day for sandwiches, for a bit of lunch, for the potato salad, etc. So to me, it's tremendously good value and such a pleasing thing. So you cook your gammon as you normally would, you boil it, and all these things you can do the day before. So in other words, you kind of want to do that today. Boil your gammon, right? Then you take off that kind of thick skin and you kind of do a pretty crosshatch stuff, which you've always wanted to do, but now you have the time to do. And then you mix an equal mixture of mustard and marmalade, like grainy mustard and marmalade, from any bought marmalade, really. Or if you don't like marmalade, you could use another kind of jam, or you could use honey, but basically equal parts of grainy mustard and something sweet. And then you sort of glaze your gammon with that, and pop it back in the oven until it takes on a lovely golden color. And then you kind of let it rest for a little bit, and then you slice it as thinly as you can. Now, I'm of the school of slicing it really thinly. Some people slice, you know, kind of slice gazonga, huge fat slices, but I am of the school of the thin slice of gammon, with really you get all that mustard with it, and then the slaw and the salad is really fresh and yummy. And you know, we usually sort of, you don't want to be overcooking vegetables. The nice crunch of the slaw on a warm day to go with the gammon is fantastic.
I'm going to pick one dessert recipe that we're going to finish our conversation with. And this, yes, is under your suggestion for Christmas lunch. You have options, yes, of a squidgy date cake with brandy butter and ice cream. I'd love to taste that. My own mince pies, you say. But I want to talk about the mango salad with black sesame brittle. How do you make that?
So I have to say, this is one of those things that came about as like a complete fluke, to be honest with you. But it's so delicious. So back in the 80s, many hostesses were making the salad that involved cut up mango and then a sort of cream with yogurt stirred through it, sort of layered on top of the mango. And then people would put some dark brown sugar over that, like sprinkle it over, and the dark brown sugar sort of melts into the cream and forms a kind of topping. But I actually just kind of didn't have time to wait for the brown sugar to melt. And I had some black sesame seeds just standing right next to my stove. And so I made this brittle with kind of melted sugar that sort of caramelizes. And I poured the black sesame into the melted sugar and then poured this hot caramel sesame. So now the sesame seeds toast in the hot caramel, and poured that over the cream with its kind of, you know, the blanket of cream that is sitting on top of the mango. And you get this kind of crispy, brittly sesame flavor. And it also looks so striking because you've got the orange of the mango, you've got the yogurt cream, and then you've got this black sesame brittle kind of with a crunch coming through, the freshness of the mango. It was such a triumph. It was such a triumph. If you can be bold and let sugar melt in your pan, careful because it's super, super, super hot, sprinkle in sesame seeds and you get this kind of sticky, hard caramel that kind of hardens as it hits the cream.
Karen, sounds absolutely delightful and delicious and gorgeous. Thank you very much. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful festive season. Karen Dudley, of course, chef and author of cookbook Another Week in the Kitchen and Set a Table.